Hello, children. Hello. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin. Once upon a time, a group of aliens came to Earth. People were scared that the aliens had come to conquer them, but they hadn't come to conquer them. They'd come to work. They were rather like social insects, except they were the worker caste of the social insects. They were highly intelligent, highly physically able, and highly creative. But all they wanted to do, and their entire sense of fulfillment, came from work. They had no concept of leisure, property, wealth, competition. They reproduced asexually, and as long as they had food and water, they could work, and all they wished to do was work. They started off being permitted to do routine, mundane, low-paid jobs. And in doing so, of course, they replaced the human workers, than whom they were far more efficient, leading to those workers being unemployed. Some people eventually found that they could do even more complex jobs, and so they gradually started to replace workers in complex industries as well. Some businesses were resistant to taking them on, taking the side of the humans, but they eventually were forced, in order to be competitive, to replace their human workers with these aliens. Unemployment skyrocketed. Wages stagnated. There was incredible competition for jobs among the humans, and there was market polarization. A small number of people, those who were in charge of industries, made a huge amount of money out of the technological innovation of having these brilliant aliens doing all the work. They did very well. The luxury goods soared. Some people became extremely rich indeed. But the problem was that so many people who were human couldn't find a job at all. And there became a terrible polarization between those who were extremely rich and those who were struggling to get by. The humans who were struggling to get by, and more of them were struggling to get by, as the aliens took all of their jobs, stopped purchasing things. The result was that eventually businesses stopped producing all but the most basic goods, and the result of that was that the businesses started to collapse. People couldn't pay their mortgages, debts were defaulted on, tax revenue collapsed, because the problem was that although the aliens were brilliant workers and made industry so much more efficient, they didn't actually buy anything. Eventually, even the rich began to feel the pinch. Eventually, even those that were in charge of this army of brilliant aliens found that their resources were dwindling and that they didn't have any money. And eventually, the entire system collapsed. The aliens were rejected and humanity returned to a simpler existence with more humans doing simpler jobs. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. Now, that is a parable, or a fable, from a very interesting book that I've been reading called Rise of the Robots by Martin Ford, in which he notes what ultimately will happen if mechanisation and the removal of humans from industry continues. Eventually, you get to a situation where unemployment is so high that nobody is actually purchasing anything, and the entire system, nobody has any money, and the entire system is undermined. And that is, I think, a very important point that is made by the book. The book looks at technological innovation and the rise of robots in healthcare and in all kinds of industry and how they're gradually displacing humans and putting humans out of work. But one of the key points is there is a limit to which they can do this. Now, because eventually there simply will be so many unemployed humans that nobody will have any money. And nobody will buy anything, and then the whole system will be undermined. Now, in a society where we are becoming ever more intelligent, it is perfectly conceivable that you can keep putting people out of work and keep mechanising as long as you keep getting more intelligent and keep coming up with more ways of causing industry to become ever more efficient so that you can sustain a larger and larger and larger population. But one of the things which Ford doesn't look at in this book, and one of the key problems, is that as we have discussed before on this programme, we are not becoming more intelligent. intelligent or even sustaining our intelligence, we are becoming less intelligent. There is a negative correlation of about minus 0.2 between how many children you have and your IQ, how intelligent you are. The prevalence of alleles associated with very high levels of education and thus with intelligence has declined across the last three generations in Western countries. Our reaction times, which are a marker of intelligence, are becoming longer, which implies we're becoming more stupid. Our colour discrimination is becoming worse. And importantly, our level of per capita major innovation is declining. So it is quite clear that we are becoming less intelligent. And so what that would eventually mean, as we become less and less and less intelligent, and we can see this with per capita major innovations, is that the extent to which the industry and the innovations of industry can production becoming more efficient can outpace population growth will become less and less and less until you have a very, very large population which is not outpaced by this. And what you end up with, therefore, is lots and lots of very poor people who don't have jobs and basically not enough food, a population that cannot sustain a population that cannot be sustained by the system. And when that happens, of course, the system collapses. And so therefore, the key message, as far as I'm concerned, of this book is that we don't have to fear that the rise of mechanization and being taken over by robots after a certain point. Yes, the Industrial Revolution put out of work those with very low IQ who were only capable of doing very, very menial jobs in agriculture or whatever. As it has continued, it has put more and more people with higher and higher IQ levels out of work. Those that are only intellectually capable of factory work, out of work. Soon, those that are only intellectually capable of sort of dull administrative office jobs will be out of work. And that will be happening as the IQ of the society goes down, meaning that there are more and more and more people who are only intellectually capable of, let's say, being farm labourers, or who aren't even intellectually capable of being farm labourers, because that is too much effort, that is too complicated for them. And so eventually, mechanisation has an inbuilt limit, because these people will have to be just looked after by the society, but there'll be so many of them, and the society won't be keeping a pace with the population growth, meaning that eventually they won't be able to be sustained, there won't be enough food, there'll be riots, there'll be war, and the whole system will break down, and there won't be enough tax revenue, and even the people that are rich, even the elites, will feel the pinch and won't be able to sustain themselves because of the mechanization, which has meant that there aren't enough people doing work and there aren't enough people paying tax and there isn't enough money. So I don't think we have to fear a future of being taken over completely by mechanization, because eventually, as things become too mechanized, then nobody is making any money, nobody is spending any money, and therefore the entire system, which is based around consumption and based around spending, will come apart. And that is the key, I think, to that parable. So we don't have to fear the singularity for that reason. A second reason why we don't have to fear the singularity is that one of the ideas that's floated in the book is the idea that the elites are going to come up with ways of sort of implanting intelligence robotically into the brains of their children to ensure that their children become super intelligent and rule the universe. Well, the key problem with that is the very idea of wanting to rule the universe and wanting to keep going forever to the sort of greater glory implies religious belief. It implies a strong belief in God. It implies a belief that that life is of eternal importance and therefore we should keep going forever and we should ensure that we become brilliant and dominant. But we don't live in a society like that anymore. We had a society like that in about 1850, and you had serious people who were the sort of elite of society, the elite academics, talking about eugenics programs like Francis Galton. And even they were saying that what you need to do is create a kind of religion of eugenics in order to encourage the most intelligent people to have lots and lots of children and to discourage those who aren't particularly intelligent or aren't particularly fit from having children, this religion of eugenics, so that we can go on and on forever and we can become brilliant. And ultimately, it's it's something that's underpinned by a strong religious belief, by a belief in the importance of the group, by a belief in the eternal importance of the group. But we don't have that anymore. We have a society where people don't really believe in eternal values, they don't really believe in eternity, they don't really believe in God, they just believe in individualism and the importance of the self and hedonism and having a good time. So it seems to me that even if we could implant technology into people's brains, and even if you could get round the eugenic arguments of that, which you probably couldn't because these individualistic values of equality and harm avoidance are so high, people probably wouldn't bother to do so because even the elites in society are individualistic and are just focused on their own hedonistic pleasures rather than the good of the group or of the good of society. So I think that is most unlikely to occur, and it is most unlikely to occur that they and then you have a you have an argument that they will try to enslave the rest of us, that the elites will try to enslave the rest of us using technology. Well, this seems unlikely because as this the technology has to be maintained, and as the society becomes less and less and less intelligent, then eventually we won't be intelligent enough to maintain the technology even that we already have developed, let alone future highly complex technology which will allow the elites to, as if there is some border between normal people and the elites, to enslave the rest of us for their benefit. So this seems very unlikely as well. Also, the intelligence of the elites will itself be going down. So they will become less future-oriented, they will become less willing to think about the future and of their own, anything other than the pleasures of the now, and therefore they will be less inclined to do things like this. So I don't think you have to worry about people being enslaved by the elites. And also, as we said, the nature of the technology is such that eventually there will be, even the elites will feel the pinch. Even the elites will start losing money because there will be eventually nobody spending any money. And so the entire system where we are enslaved by spending money all the time, eat out to help out Britain, will be gradually undermined. The next argument that we can put is that there seems to be an inbuilt limit to intelligence, and this is very important as well. So you have this idea with the singularity that we can keep on becoming more intelligent forever with no negative consequences, but that's not so. We know that part of intelligence is that you take in a huge amount of information, and this allows you to solve extremely complex cognitive problems because you're taking in more information, and the more information you can take in, the more subtle is your thinking, and so the more able you are to solve extremely complex problems. But the result of that is that at a very high level of intelligence, people tend to have autoimmune disorders. They tend to be, you know, asthma and things like this, because their body is hypersensitive to its environment. So there is a sense of, at a certain level of intelligence seems to become fitness reducing. At a very high level of intelligence is also associated with autism. So that is to say that you become easily overstimulated, and you don't like sort of normal things and normal interactions, and this is negatively associated with having children. So again, at a certain level of intelligence, it is fitness reducing to be highly intelligent. So again, the eugenics argument starts to break down, and it seems quite clear that IQ cannot be stopped from going into decline. And the final argument, I suppose, is a probability argument, which is more likely that our civilization is somehow unique, or that our civilization is part of the Malthusian cycle like all other civilizations. Which is more likely, that we are somehow special, or that we are like other civilizations? In so much as when civilizations are in their winter, and this is noted by Sir John Glove in his research, they always see immigration, multiculturalism, feminism, the breakdown of religiosity, individualism, hedonism, a general coming apart, a lack of martial values. In that civilizations in their winter that are about to collapse always have these things, isn't it more likely that we are part of the same process, and that we have simply managed to, the Malthusian cycle whereby your population are small and therefore they have a good standard of living, they rise, they have a better standard of living, but then there's eventually too many of them to be sustained by the land, so there's a plague and they collapse down. Isn't it more likely that we just managed to defer that for a very long time due to the Industrial Revolution? Isn't that more likely than the idea that we are going to be taken over by robots or evil elites? I suspect that that is more likely. And so it seems to me that the key thing we have to bear in mind is that We are not going to be taken over by robots. There is not going to be some singularity where we all go and live on Venus or all go and live on Mars or whatever it happens to be, and we eventually become superhuman or whatever. For all of the reasons, including the reasons laid out in The Rise of the Robots, there is an inbuilt limit on mechanization. Just like it is a cycle, just as civilization is a cycle, just as life itself is a cycle. And we have been imbued with this Christian idea of that time is linear, that life is linear, that things can only get better. And that is simply not consistent with history. It is not consistent with the available data. It's not consistent with what we know is going on. We don't have to fear being taken over by robots. There is an inbuilt limit to mechanization, and we may reach it at some point within our lifetimes. Well, I hope this has been of interest. If it has, then please subscribe. It really helps if you do that. And please also remember that I live show Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York. And I will see you soon. And goodbye!